You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Welcome into the show. We're turning the page from week two to week three with our Pickup Tuesday. We'll focus on the waiver wire and free agents that you should be targeting here in your fantasy football leagues there at cross positions. So we'll give you a comprehensive look, all the things you need to consider, whether you're looking to stream, looking for short-term help, or maybe a long-term stud that could help you all season long. We'll look at the varied available options there all across positions. So we'll do that in a bit. And that's what we do on Locked On Fantasy Football. We're very streamlined. We're going to get you to the point here. And we'll also do some takeaways here from the Browns and Jets games to lead off the show here, and we'll dive right in. So a lot to talk about today on Pickup Tuesday. We close the door on week two with the Cleveland Browns beating the New York Jets 23-3. They cover the big spread here that jumped to 6.5. The Jets unfortunately had the injury to Trevor Siemian, who's filling in for Sam Darnold. So now Luke Falk is in, while Sam Darnold's still recovering from mono there. Let's look at the big story there for the Jets. It's just Le'Veon Bell, 31 touches. He turned that in to a solid 129 yards. He did lose a fumble there, but he is clearly the lifeblood of this offense. It was unfortunate because he was going in for a touchdown when he lost that fumble. They also had another fourth down stop in the red zone where it looked like he might score. So Bell could have had a much bigger night on a really bad night for the Jets offense. I actually had this 23-17, so a couple lost touchdown opportunities for Bell, and we would have this game a little closer, but again, you have to be pleased with the way that Bell is being used so far in the Jets offense. They have no choice really right now. I mean, Ty Montgomery, a little bit of a blip there, 6 touches for 40. He's lined up, even got a handoff from Bell in a wildcat look, so that was a little bit weird, but Bell's still the man. Robbie Anderson, tough matchup there with Denzel Ward, but made a big play to salvage the day, 36-yard play, 4 for 81. So Robbie Anderson back viable, especially with Kunsi and Nuno down. We told you about Jameson Crowder, pumped the brakes on him. This is a tough matchup there in the slot. Again, Adam Humphries is erased in the first game. The Browns are a little bit better there, so only 4 for 40 for Jameson Crowder on 6 targets. So it was hard to get him involved in the game. So when you don't have a Nunwa or somebody else in the middle field, maybe it'll help when Chris Herndon returns from tight end. It's going to be hard for Crowder. But Bell is the only Jet you can start with confidence right now without Darnold in the lineup. Now, on the other side, you look at the Browns, and Baker Mayfield had a nice rebound game. At least he had a touchdown pass here, 325 yards, touchdown interception. It's going to be a bit sloppy from week to week with Baker Mayfield. This offensive line is not very good. He only had 19 of 35, so 16 incompletions, trying to throw downfield all the time. So it's going to have inconsistent results. He's not really giving you anything running there at all. So Mayfield is going to have some big games because of the high volume of passing. Here, Nick Chubb had the other offensive touchdown, 18 for 62 and a TD. But without that 89-yard play to Beckham, it would have been a really disappointing day for Mayfield. Wasn't disappointing at all for Beckham. 6 for 161 and a TD. It looks like this offense is all about getting Odell Beckham the ball downfield when Rashard Higgins is not in there, which he wasn't with a knee injury. Jarvis Landry, not much there, 3 for 32. The occasional dump off to Nick Chubb, who looked good in that role, 4 for 36 without their Dontrell Hilliard out with a concussion, but they still got Ernest Johnson involved. So they're always going to get a second back. They don't totally trust Nick Chubb on the third down situations there. 6 for 50 on touches for Ernest Johnson. So interesting there, but Nick Chubb should really getting a lot more work. I mean, this was a solid game for him with the receiving yardage, 98 and a touch, but again, 20 touches is fine for Chubb, but I think the carries is what we want to see a little bit more from Chubb because he's been so effective here for the Browns. But I think that'll come here as they're able to stretch the field a little bit better. But still, again, it's hit or miss, boom or bust type of offense for the Browns from play to play, which can be good for fantasy, but we also know it can be disappointing for fantasy, and that's where Baker Mayfield is here after 2 weeks. It can only get better for his draft status here as a high-end QB1. We took him, remember, the top half in a lot of leagues there, right around the Matt Ryan range, and Matt Ryan and him having some similar issues out of the gate, good volume, but the turnovers and not the consistency there. And I think he'll get better against some easier defenses. The Rams are not one of them this week. That could be a bit ugly, but Mayfield have to hang in there because he is going to have a lot of throwing in this offense. Now, speaking of quarterbacks and looking at values there, that's what we'll focus on here on the waiver wire first before we take our first break and start to look at wide receivers and running backs, and then we'll come back with the tight ends and defenses with a streaming focus there to close the show. So quarterback, we'll look at both guys that are long-term and streamers, and interesting debate as well as we have replacement quarterback issues with Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger are on the shelf. You didn't have Sam Darnold or Nick Foles probably in a prominent role, so those two quarterbacks go down. And you've already had to embrace Andrew Luck in some leagues, so now Brees and Roethlisberger out of the mix. So we're going to have to dig deeper at quarterback there. And Andy Dalton is certainly someone you can look at. It's been sloppy at times for Andy Dalton. He's turned over the ball. This offensive line's not very good, but they're not running at all. The Bengals' defense is terrible, and this is the kind of the garbage player right now. But it's not totally garbage because you have Tyler Boyd and John Ross. They look legitimate. A.J. Green is coming back. Tyler Eifert got into the mix and scored a touchdown last week. So a lot of interesting things going on with the Bengals' offense where Dalton should be owned at least as a backup. I know he's hard to trust. He can throw up a bad game at any time. Could definitely be this week on the road at Buffalo. There, that could be a trap game. But Dalton is certainly a high-end backup that you need to sign now. And maybe consider starting if you lost Roethlisberger, Brees, or hurting with that Andrew Luck. He's had two massive volume games, and his receivers are coming through. So even if he struggles with some turnovers, maybe he can still put up some points in those games, especially with the Bengals not being able to run the ball effectively early out of the gate with Joe Mixon. That's a little problem for Mixon, but bump up for Dalton as a back-end QB1 at this point if they keep throwing this much with Green on the way back. Now, this is probably the last call for Josh Allen. I mean, he's pretty steady now. He's got his number one receiver, John Brown, but he also has a Cole Beasley target there in the slot that can really help him. He can use his legs to score. They're opened up the offense. The offensive line is good. The running game is supporting him. So all things are pointing up for Josh Allen, and he gets the Bengals this week. So I would say Allen at home against the Bengals versus Dalton on the road against the Bills is the way you would go. But again, Dalton and Allen should be owned long-term as high-end backups at the very worst here with all the injuries at quarterback. Jacoby Brissett, I mean, the volume is not always there, but he's had a couple touchdowns in each game. She had three last week, spreading the ball around to T.Y. Hilton, Eric Ebron, and the rookie Paris Campbell. So Brissett's not going to have volume. They want to run the ball a lot. I think that's going to be the case in this Falcons matchup. It's better to run on them, as we saw in week one with the Vikings, to just try to throw against their speed in their secondary and linebacker core and safety. So all that you have to look at for Brissett, but he is useful. This Colts team is scoring. They're getting in position. The running game, Marlon Mack, is going to set up some short scores. Brissett can do some running as well, so Brissett should be owned as well as a QB2. Now, the debate here with these replacement quarterbacks, we mentioned Drew Brees out for 6 weeks. Teddy Bridgewater takes over. Presumably, we could see a little bit of Taysom Hill in the wrinkle, and I wrote about that a little bit with my column in Sporting News. I really think they should just roll with Hill, but right now they're going to go conventional with Bridgewater. You have Mason Rudolph naturally taking over for Roethlisberger, who's out for the season, so he's going to get a long look here to see if he can be Roethlisberger's true successor here in 2020 possibly, or beyond that. So Rudolph, again, I like the weapons here overall. I mean, he's got Juju Smith-Schuster. He had a good connection with Vance McDonald. James Washington from Oklahoma State, we'll talk about him earlier, but they connected a lot in college. He was the go-to guy for Rudolph, so some familiarity. He looked pretty comfortable in his first game. The interception wasn't his fault. It was a bounce off Moncrief there. So there's all things to look at with Rudolph, he has some upside. I don't really like him this week against the 49ers. The defense is playing hot. We know that Andy Dalton got some garbage on the back end against the 49ers, but this is a tough assignment on the road for a young quarterback making for the first time. So I'm going to avoid him this week, but Mason Rudolph's certainly a guy, if I lost Big Ben, that I want to kind of stash and see what he can do develop in this offense, because there are some good things, including the offensive line, the running game, the receivers, and McDonald there, tight end. So Rudolph certainly has more appeal. Teddy Bridgewater has very little appeal to me, just because it's, other than Michael Thomas and Jared Cook, who hasn't really done much yet, and Alvin Kamara, there's not much there. Traquan Smith is hurt. Keith Kirkwood is hurt. So there's not much to think that Bridgewater can produce. He's not really a true running quarterback either. So he can move around. He's a good athlete, but he's coming off the knee surgery a couple of years. So not feeling it there with Teddy Bridgewater as much with Mason Rudolph as being a solution at some point. And not this particular week, but Rudolph, I think, is going to carry more value these next 6 weeks and beyond than Teddy Bridgewater will here for the Saints. Now, if you're looking for streaming options this week, now there's two quarterbacks that everyone has just piled on and just says, these guys are the worst. What's going on? I can't believe I thought these guys were going to have good seasons. Cam Newton and Mitchell Trubisky. Now, people are likely going to start dropping Cam Newton after these first two games. He's not running. That doesn't give him great value. But he's playing the Cardinals this week. And the Cardinals, you can get the job done passing. I know Lamar Jackson, he's not going to suddenly wake up and rush for 125 yards the way that Jackson did, especially if his foot is still ailing, and he's not that type of runner anyway. Jackson's more dynamic, take it off, Michael Vick type runner. Cam Newton's more of a lumbering, pick a spot, can scramble, but he's not the type that's going to just take off and be Vick-like. He needs to run, get short yardage and those touchdown opportunities. But this week he can get the job throwing. The Cardinals still depleted in the back end with Patrick Peterson suspended. They're giving up a lot to the tight end, so that's good news for Greg Olsen, his top target from week two. So you like that with his receivers and getting downfield against this Cardinals very vulnerable pass defense in the back end. And I think some of those things he missed last week will connect here in the desert in the comfortable environment there of State Farm Stadium. Mitchell Trubisky gets the Redskins. It's a road game, so we're a little bit worried about that. But a little bit of confidence making that big play to help the Bears win in week number two at Denver late in the game. Makes a throw, gets a spike, and they get the winning field goal. So there's a little bit of confidence that could build off that. And the Redskins' defense should also be a confidence builder. They're really banged up on the back end. Josh Norman is pretty much done here. They don't have Jonathan Allen up front. Fabian Moreau and Quentin Dunbar have been out in the secondary, so some chances for some big plays for the Bears to flex a little. They got a running back, David Montgomery, going, the rookie there to open things up possibly in this offense. And again, the Redskins have not looked good against quarterbacks at all. Like, granted, the quarterbacks they've faced have been Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott, and Trubisky's not playing at that level. But you can see a touchdown to Allen Robinson, a little bit of running, maybe get Taylor Gabriel involved a little bit, maybe the tight end a little bit involved after the tight ends had some good success against the Redskins. So that's enough to get you a streaming day. So Newton and Trubisky, they've been dropped. There's some availability for you in your leagues. Now, I got to tell you before we take a break that Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. And this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is also brought to you by MyBookie. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. We know that as fantasy football players. Game-winning touchdowns and two-minute drives, we love that for fantasy football. Running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them, there's nothing like it in the NFL. We saw that with Julio Jones and the touchdown for the Falcons last week going off. There's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them as well. So you got to do the smart thing. You have to go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book you'll find online. Don't forget, where you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting on. MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. They make it a lot of fun. They have some of the best player perks that you'll find in the business as well. And if you like to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply winnings. No matter how you want to bring down the bets, the NFL season, the best time of the year, and MyBookie is going to make it the best experience for you. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. You just have to use the special promo code LOCKEDON. That's right, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. Promo code LOCKEDON. You just have to visit mybookie.ag today and enter that promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of the offer. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be right back here with a look at the wide receivers and running backs you want to target on your waiver wire for week number 3. All right, let's continue looking at key waiver pickups here. We've got quite a bit to talk about here at wide receiver. Terry McLaurin, probably the last call for him. Clearly the Redskins' number one receiver, so he had some skepticism about his ownership last week. Marquise Brown, everyone kind of flocked to him, and the Chiefs' backups there. We'll talk about them in a minute. But Terry McLaurin, clearly the number one target there, as long as Case Keenum's in there and doesn't change with Dwayne Haskins, his college teammate, they're throwing to him, so you got to look at him. James Washington, speaking of college teammates, he's reunited with Mason Rudolph, so Washington should get going, especially with Dante Moncrief struggling, the rookie Deontay Johnson not needing much. They need something behind Vance McDonald, Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Washington is a big play threat, is someone we're definitely interested in. You'll also get the coverage away from Richard Sherman this week, so that should help potentially free him up if he can get free against Akilah Witherspoon. Now, mentioned the Chiefs wide receivers, Mecole Hardman versus DeMarcus Robinson. I think if you're looking for steady, DeMarcus Robinson is your guy because he's going to get involved. He had the 6 targets, had the 2 touchdowns, big playability, but also body that can get into the end zone there to complement to what they can do. If you're going to put someone out there consistently with Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, he's the guy that you look at. He has a higher floor to me than Mecole Hardman, but Mecole Hardman has the higher ceiling. He's the bigger player. Playmaker, we know that from Georgia. He's kind of a Tyreek Hill clone indirectly, so he could have had 2 touchdowns as well. He had the 1 big touchdown last week, so Hardman, he's owned a lot more, so that's also a downside there to go after him. After last week, everyone is all over him. People have been all over him early since we had the Tyreek Hill off-field news, and we thought he could be stepping in and replacing him directly as a rookie, so there's been that momentum, but DeMarcus Robinson, now everyone's going to go after him as well. So he's a guy that's available you have to look at there. Now, you have to really consider DJ Chark as well of the Jaguars at wide receiver. I mean, we thought Dede Westbrook was going to be the guy, and he was probably with Nick Foles. But now Gardner Minshew's in there. He has eyes for Chark. Big plays in week 1. Scored a touchdown again in week 2. He's legitimately living up to his expectations from LSU, secondary receiver. Chris Conley is also working in the mix. He's got an interesting floor there, but we've seen Chark has a great ceiling and a great floor, and he should be owned in all leagues at this point there as a high-end wide receiver 3 potentially all season long. Debo Samuel, some guy we're going to monitor, did look very good for the 49ers, kind of their default all-around number one receiver. They got plenty of receivers they're working in, however. Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin. They've split it around. They have George Kittle. They throw it to the back. So it's hard to count on the consistency from Samuel. But in PPR, he could develop here as they like him more and more. And Jimmy Garoppolo gets more comfortable with him. Now, Geronimo Allison, maybe after the week 1 where he got totally blanked on the scoreboard, may have been dropped in leagues. But you look at him with the Packers, they did score there against the Vikings. He's going to get more involved. This Packers offense is going to be a lot better. They face the Bears and Vikings, 2 pretty tough matchups there for Aaron Rodgers early in the season. It's going to get better for Davante Adams, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Allison, starting consistently in their 3 wide sets in the slot. They're going to have to throw the ball more at some point. Their defense is not going to dominate every game. I think this could be a good week with Denver. They only have 1 really good corner in Chris Harris Jr., so things could open up, but Allison should be back on the radar as a wide receiver 3 option there. Nelson Agholor, we have to look at the Eagles' injuries. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he could miss the Lions game. We'll have to see about DeSean Jackson, his growing injury, but Agholor looked good there. He was treated kind of as a top target. They need to still get in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside into the mix here. He didn't look ready. So after Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz is going to trust Nelson Agholor. I mean, that was his guy. I mean, Nick Foles wasn't as much an Agholor guy down the stretch. He was getting the ball to Alshon Jeffrey, but Carson Wentz really looks at Agholor there, and he trusts him. He did a lot of work in the slot and scored a lot of touchdowns for him during the Super Bowl year. So Aguilar clearly is a must-have here if Alshon Jeffrey is out for any extended period of time. And if Jackson is there, you also go from Aguilar picking him up to going straight into your lineup, definitely against the Lions this week. I know it's a bit of tough with Darius Slay, but Aguilar can kind of avoid it working on the inside there. And a tough guy to cover. They really move him around to get him open there as well. So it'd be nice if one of those guys can take Slay's attention. But if not, Aguilar is going to make it up in volume and looks in the red zone. Devin Smith has to be on the radar. Michael Gallup is expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks there. Maybe closer to the four-week side for the Cowboys. Devin Smith stepped in seamlessly as a big play threat. He looked good working with Dak Prescott. So he is definitely on the radar as a guy that you're looking at there to kind of be your handcuff to Michael Gallup. It's kind of weird to think that, but the Cowboys' offense is humming right now. They get the Dolphins this week, who've gotten up a ton of big plays. There we saw how they got torched by speed receiver Marquise Brown in week number one, and that was with Minkah Fitzpatrick. They traded him to the Steelers, so they don't have his presence in the field. Basically, they're looking at Xavien Howard. We know Xavien Howard is going to go after Amari Cooper, so Devin Smith could have a lot of opportunities on the outside. People are looking more at Randall Cobb, but I like the upside of Devin Smith filling in for Gallup very admirably, and he already has done that here for the Cowboys. Preston Williams, you're going to take a little bit of a sniff there of the Dolphins. Not much to see there. I don't like him this week. Cowboys defense, this could be a blowout, and not much to see with Ryan Fitzpatrick starting. Maybe if Josh Rosen's in there, we'll see a little bit more from Preston Williams. But again, he's the best and only fantasy option that I can even think about on the Dolphins. And Golden Tate, just keep him on the radar here. He's going to be coming back soon from a suspension. We'll see if Sterling Shepard and the concussion lasts a little longer here. But they need receiving targets. Really hurt Evan Ingram that Shepard was not in there last week. They need someone to catch the ball, their wide receiver. Cody Latimer also was banged up from that game. So, again, Golden Tate could end up being a key target here early as soon as he gets back from suspension after 4 weeks for Eli Manning and or Daniel Jones here going forward. We turn to running back, not as much to talk about there. It's the last call for Carlos Hyde. I mean, he looked good again against the Jaguars running the ball, one of his former teams. So he's locked in as the early down strong back for Houston. Houston looks like they can run the ball a little bit better. And the Chargers are the team this week. So Hyde can really power run well against them this week. So Carlos Hyde has to be picked up. So who should Raheem Mostert? I mean, Tevin Coleman, who knows how long he's going to be out with the ankle injury, but Mostert is back at it again, supporting Matt Breida. This team is running the ball at a high level. The Steelers can be tricky against the run. They kind of limited Chris Carson at times last week, but they also gave up some big runs to Rashad Penny. The week before, they were really good against Sonny Michel and the Patriots, but Mostert's a guy they can get out of space as a pass catcher. They can do that, and Matt Breida is the little guy that's going to get the big yardage, but Mostert can finish in the red zone. We saw Jeff Wilson get that love this week, so it'll be a frustrating committee. But Mostert, we know, has some special versatility and ability there, and he needs to be owned just because of how good this 49ers rushing attack can be here with Kyle Shanahan and this offensive line to support Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, Frank Gore, you have to watch here, but Devin Singletary has the hamstring issue. Frank Gore, venerable, usable. They're playing the Bengals at home this week. The Bengals just got gashed by those 49ers for 259 yards rushing. Plenty to go around if it's Singletary and Gore. It's a big spread in favor of the Bills, so they figure if they're ahead, they're going to pound away here. Gore had a nice game. Wasn't spectacular, a lot like his Miami games. Medium yards per carry, but did find the end zone. And if Singletary's out, I think Gore is a definite play picking up straight off the waiver wire this week. Now, people are looking at James Conner. Will he play through the knee? We'll have to monitor that. Jalen Samuels, clearly the bigger pickup. But if you're deeper and desperate, Benny Snell, they like him as a power back here. So I think it's some combination of Samuels and Snell. Samuels is going to be heavily owned because Conner and the issues are there. And he was drafted in a lot of leagues. But Snell could be alternative. Not too exciting there. But if you want a piece of that Steelers backfield, there's that, but it's also without Ben Roethlisberger, so maybe less scoring opportunities and appeal overall for the backs behind James Conner. And Darwin Thompson, he was a darling, drafted by everyone, when we thought he could be the man ahead of Damian Williams. Well, now he could be the man ahead of Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy, as both are banged up here coming out of the Raiders game. That explains why they didn't produce in a game where you think they would, with the Chiefs having a big lead and working the clock, but not happening there. The Chiefs just kept on throwing in that game as a response. So Darwin Thompson has an opportunity, the rookie that everyone's been buzzing about, but kind of has buzz kill with the arrival of McCoy there with Williams. So I think right now you got to put him on the radar, because injuries quickly can change a backfield situation, and the Chiefs is a backfield that you certainly want some exposure to. We'll close the show looking at the tight ends and defenses to target on the waiver wire in a moment, but first I got to tell you, it's a busy time of the year for me with NFL and fantasy football. I don't get a chance too much to go out, but when I go out and want to get tickets to that concert or a college football game that I'm interested in seeing most, I always go and check out Vivid Seats, and you should too. And the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program now makes going to Vivid Seats better than ever. You can attend the concert or sporting event of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event to save money there. And Vivid Seats, you know them as the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. And it's easy to use the Vivid Seats app because you can sort there looking for seats in the section that you want or the price point that you want. And when you download the Vivid Seats app, you're automatically enrolled in the loyalty program that you can earn a lot of percentage back in a hurry if the more events you go to. And all you have to do is go to the App Store or Google Play to download the Vivid Seats app. And again, you're automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. You know every purchase at Vivid Seats is backed by 100% buyer guarantee. Vivid Seats has it all for you, whatever you want to go see live and in person. All you have to do is download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program now. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime. Let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. And now there's a special deal for you, the listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. You can enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout of the Vivid Seats app to receive a discount of up to $100 on top of getting those rewards points there at Vivid Seats as part of their loyalty program. So check it out, Vivid Seats. They want you to come back and get all your tickets there, and they'll take care of you well. At Vivid Seats, just enter the promo code KICKOFF and you can save up to $100. We'll be back to close up Pickup Tuesday with our look at tight ends and defenses. All right, tight end has really been a tough position to monitor here because we've had a few surprises. On the top end, Travis Kelce started to get going, and Zach Ertz and George Kittle, still a little slow start for them, but we know we'll get it going with them at some point. They're just too talented there, and some things around them are going to help them. But in the middle, we've had O.J. Howard really struggle, Hunter Henry going down. We had Jared Cook really disappointing. Eric Ebron is not doing anything. It's been the back end guys that were kind of sleepers, Mark Andrews and Greg Olsen, doing a lot of the damage right now. But those guys might be on, but you have to look at Will Disley. He scored twice there against the Steelers. He's really the third target on the team. I know they involved Malik Turner behind Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. I mean, Lockett and Metcalf are seeing a lot of targets, but Disley has been a scoring machine. Remember, he had the knee injury that kind of derailed him last year, but he's a legitimate target. They're looking in the red zone. We haven't had that type of guy since Jimmy Graham was there with Russell Wilson, but Disley looks like the real deal, that they're going to throw to him in the end zone. I mean, he's touchdown dependent, but we know most tight ends you're targeting are touchdown dependent. So that's just the nature of their position. You're not going to get a lot of guys like Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle or Andrews that are going to be the number one receivers on their team. And Disley, again, he's going to have competition for targets. The key with Seattle, and this was something that we talked about, is their defense is not that good. So they may want to be the running team and control the clock with Chris Carson. But Carson had fumble issues last week. They need a big run by Rashad Penny to really get the running game to their liking. So this is what Brian Schottenheimer wants to do. But he also knows that he's got Wilson. He's got Metcalf, a special guy that can take a defense deep to complement Lockett. And that's going to open some things up underneath for Disley. and get him open in the red zone as well. So Disley, again, playing off that run, that's usually when a tight end succeeds and can score, and Wilson is savvy enough to get it to him, and you have to pay attention to a guy that is looked in the end zone at particularly this position. Same thing with Jason Witten. Now, going back to his best years as a fantasy receiver when he's gone over 1,000 yards and been pretty much the 1A target there with guys like Dez Bryant and Miles Austin, and going back here ways, he's still been more of a yardage and receptions guy downfield, but he's a little older now. So, and the Cowboys have other guys who can stretch the field, and Jason Witten has scored in two games. I mean, the other tight end did score there in week one, Blake Jarwin, which is notable. So Witten, again, touchdown dependent. We know that he's not a touchdown guy, so that's kind of an anomaly here with what he's done, but still he's on the radar. He's doing something. He's involved. The Cowboys offense is doing anything at will. They're playing the Dolphins this week. They do not have Michael Gallup. I mentioned Devin Smith being that big play threat, but in terms of the targets now, Randall Cobb and Witten in the middle field, playing off of Amari Cooper, who will get Xavier Howard this week. So Witten, again, you have to pay attention to. I mean, it's going to cool off, and it may not be great, but again, he scored in two straight games. You have to totally not ignore that. And again, he is a Hall of Fame tight end that can get things done. Kind of like Antonio Gates was last year, usable in certain areas there as an older player. Not going to be excited, but definitely a stash if you're struggling at tight end one that you have to consider. And Chris Herndon as well. I mean, the Jets offense, we saw, it went through Le'Veon Bell. Jamison Crowder is involved. But they lost Quincy Nuno, and they need another target there. Chris Herndon, a tight end, can certainly help there, especially with Luke Falk maybe needing to start here for a little bit longer with Darnold out. Darnold and Herndon had a good connection, so at some point Darnold will return. So it should be a guy that you look at because he did have some upside. We did like him as a potential tight end one before the suspension came down. He's coming back in a game here, so I really think that's a guy that you have to look at, especially if you've got Howard or one of these early busts at the position that you have to navigate through. Finally, we'll look at defenses, and defenses we take it one week at a time. I mean, there's a couple studs out there that the weekly plug-in is going to be there. It's the Bears are number one, and the second one is maybe the team you didn't think, the Patriots, but they've looked awesome here in 2 weeks. Their schedule is cake. They get the Jets this week, so the Patriots are going to be consistently ranked with the Bears high every week. And we knew a team like that would emerge to be dominant that we didn't expect. And it's the Patriots for sure picking up where they left off from the Super Bowl. Now, in terms of this week, if the Cowboys are available, they may not be because of the start that they had with the Giants and Redskins. But if they're still available, obviously you want to get them against the Dolphins. But mind, the Cowboys don't make a lot of plays, but I think they'll get some sacks and maybe a few turnovers. In this game, the Bills are a play this week. They're going to get New England next week, so you're going to peel off them. But they've been solid here in the first 2 weeks. They get the Bengals at home, been a sack and a turnover machine there. So the Bills at home, their home opener is a good play here. So are the Packers. They get the Broncos at home. They're a big favorite here by 9 points. Joe Flacco and company, the Packers have been getting picks and fumbles and sacks and all that early in the season. So what you want in fantasy football and a good matchup here against an overmatched Broncos passing game. There, they're going to have to throw and make some mistakes there with Aaron Rodgers on the other side. 49ers get Mason Rudolph in his first start. They've been very well this season with the turnovers and sacks. They'll go after it again with the Steelers. You figure he's going to make some useful mistakes here, and they'll capitalize it on it. Same thing with Gardner Minshew and playing the Titans this week. There, I know the game is in Jacksonville, but the Titans defense is pretty freaking darn good. They showed that in the first two games here. They can get it after it. It's going to be a tough matchup for Minshew. They're even tougher than I think what he saw in the Texans there last week. So it's going to be tough, but the Titans can make a lot of plays there, and they've done well in this matchup of late, winning 5 of 6 against the Jaguars. Now, the Eagles also figure to be in a rebound spot. Matthew Stafford, again, this Lions team is a little bit more protective of the ball, and their secondary is kind of bad. We know that. Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones should have some big games here, but Matthew Stafford's also prone to make some mistakes. It's Jim Schwartz. He knows Matthew Stafford well. He'll know how to blitz him, push the buttons, get some sacks, and maybe some picks there. And the Eagles were active, even though they gave up the big plays to Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. Their secondary was in position to make some plays there against Matt Ryan. So the Eagles were more usable than we thought in Atlanta, and they're definitely going to be usable at home against Detroit. And finally, the Colts. You look at them, they're playing the Falcons. Speaking of Atlanta, Matt Ryan has been sloppy with the ball, and this is a team that's not run the ball effectively. The Colts can be vulnerable against the run there at times, and we saw that with both the Chargers and the Titans, what they did there. But again, the Falcons have struggled to run the ball early. The Colts do have some playmakers. May not have Darius Leonard and Pierre Desir, so that's a little bit concerned. But again, the Colts are going to grind at the clock here, use their running game, and potentially have a chance to tee off against Matt Ryan here. So keep that in mind, Matt Ryan. Again, sloppy with the football, getting one-dimensional. And teams that pass, they create more opportunities there. They can give up the points, but the opportunities are there for also mistakes that really help us in fantasy football. So that's how I kind of look at it in order, those seven teams that could be available on the waiver wire for you. Plenty of options there. You always have an option at defense, and may not be the desired option, but you have someone that can get by and get you the points you need. So there you have it. There's a look at your tight ends and defenses. We completed the show there. We gave you our takeaways from the Browns Jets, broke down all the quarterback situations, running back, wide receiver. So comprehensive look at the waiver wire. That's what we do every Tuesday on Pickup Tuesday. We get to the point, get you in and out here with all the information you need. And we'll have a lot more tomorrow on Matchup Wednesday as we start to break down the games of Week 3. We take a half of the games there. We take the other half on Matchup Thursday to give you a comprehensive look at all those games and what you need to know there from a fantasy football perspective to know who to play and who not to play. And then we'll come back with Lineup Friday. Don't forget DFS look there, DraftKings lineups, as well as injury updates for you and takeaways from Thursday Night Football. So good progressive week we have for you, and this is how we're going to do it all the time. If you're new to the show, we're no nonsense. We don't talk a lot about other things, but we want to get you all caught up with fantasy football, and that's what I'm here for. So thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. This is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.